The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Peter turned and saw the disciple following, whom Jesus loved. The one who had also reclined upon Jesus' chest during the supper and had said, "Master, who is the one who will betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "What if I want him to remain until I come? What business of it is yours? You follow me." So the word spread among the brothers that that disciple would not die. But Jesus had not told him that he wouldn't die, just, "What if I want him to remain until I come? What concern is it of yours?" It is this disciple who testifies to these things and has written them, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things that Jesus did, but if these were to be described individually, I do not think the whole world would contain the books that would be written. The Gospel of the Lord. We come to the end of the Easter season. Church has us focused here on three ends, so that we might appropriately ponder our own. Jesus came into this world. He took on our human nature. He suffered, he died, and he rose so that we might have life to the full. And at the end of the Easter season, the church wants us to be very intentional about seizing that gift. And as we prayed in the opening prayer today, aligning our entire life with the Paschal festivities we celebrate. So what do we learn from Peter, James, and John here? First, yesterday we focused on Peter's end. Just like after Jesus had said to Peter, "You are a rock, and on this rock I will build my church." And then Peter started to pretend as if he wasn't that rock, and he wanted to reject the possibility that the Lord would suffer and that we would have to suffer with him. So after Jesus had told Peter after the breakfast on the seashore of Galilee, that even though you cannot admit right now that you will love me with a total self-sacrificial agape type of love, just want to continue to reduce it to the love of friendship, I tell you that when you are older, another will stretch out your hands, the Greek idiom for crucifixion, and drag you to a place where you don't want to go. Peter was told by the Lord, with extraordinarily consoling language, that what Peter had promised to do but failed at the Last Supper, that he would lay down his life for the Lord, would in fact happen. But right after that, perhaps it was euphoria, perhaps it was just his fallen nature that expressed itself in unserious curiosity rather than unfocused when the Lord had told him that his job was to follow him. Peter turns and sees John and says, "What about him?" We'll return to Jesus' answer in a second. The point is, we can be so distracted and so curious about plenty of things in life, we can take our eyes off that target. Jesus has given us, just like he gave Peter, an incredible vocation, a summons to eternal life with him. But we can begin to fill our attention with so many less important things. Questions that seem holy on the outside, but inside are just not pertinent to what the Lord asks. So we learn so much from Peter. Peter's mission was to continue the whole rest of his life feeding Christ's sheep and lambs and protecting them, tending them. To look at all those whom the Lord would send as Christ himself would. And we'll see what happens when the Holy Spirit will come down upon Peter. He will for the most part, for the rest of his life, achieve that type of focus, and then accord his life with the festivities he was celebrating with the Lord, feeding and tending his sheep, until Christ's prophecy about Peter's end would occur. Peter's example spurs us on to keep that same focus, to feed and tend Christ's sheep and lambs. Second end we have today is John's. Jesus, in response to Peter's query, doesn't say he's going to remain until he comes again, although by the time St. John was writing his gospel in his 90s, which would be similar to somebody in his 120s, the rumor would easily have spread that perhaps that affirmation of Jesus, what if I want him to stay until I come, might have gained a little credence, that he would be the one who was the last of the apostles, and that he was living at such an advanced age. But St. John himself demolishes that rumor in the church, saying that that is not what the Lord Jesus had said. But St. John spent the rest of his many decades doing what he describes here. It is this disciple who testifies to these things and has written them, and we know that his testimony is true. St. John, rather than being curious, was essentializing always, getting to the heart of what Jesus was saying. And he gave his life in witness to the truth incarnate. The very end of his life, as St. Jerome says, passing on the oral tradition of the early church, when he would be taken down from the mountain in Ephesus to speak to the crowds, his voice faint. His message would be the same each week. Little children, let us love one another. And when, according to St. Jerome, the young people in the primitive sedia gestatoria with which they were carrying the apostle said, "Hey, you're a broken record. You're always saying the same thing. Jesus said so much more than this." St. John said, in words that St. Jerome made famous, "I never tire of saying those words because the Master never did." John gave his life in witness of the truth of the love of the Lord for us, and then how we, immersed in that love, are called to share that love for others. Just like Jesus said to Peter yesterday, Simon, son of John, do you love me? If you do, then tend my sheep and feed my lambs, etc. Peter's love for Jesus would be shown in his love for those whom Jesus would entrust to him. So John always wrote not Jesus' words, "Love me as I have loved you," but "Love one another as I have loved you." So that was John's great witness until the end of his life. What an extraordinary witness it would be for us if we stayed focused, so that somebody would be able to say, at our end, that was a person who sought to love others with all he or she had, and called us to do the same. The third end is St. Paul's. Today we see him arrive in Rome. We're under house arrest. He called together the leaders of the Jews and began to welcome all those who came to him. And St. Luke, who followed him, said that for 2 years he received all, and with complete assurance and without hindrance, proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had plenty of hindrances. He couldn't leave his place. Much of the day he was likely chained to his guard, because that was the way it was under house arrest in the Roman Empire. But even though there were lots of external impediments, interiorly he was incredibly free. and he used even that house arrest as a church by which he would be able to receive and teach and proclaim the kingdom and help people enter into it. There are plenty of worldly impediments that might impact our life, might be injured, even paralyzed, might start to lose certain of our faculties. But until the very end, the Lord will send the Holy Spirit to help us to proclaim God's kingdom, teach about Jesus with complete assurance, complete conviction, total dedication, focus, because of that love we have received. Today at this Mass, as we prepare to receive Jesus in Holy Communion, that Jesus who told Peter and tells us to follow me, that is our business, that Jesus whom John proclaimed as the Word made flesh, that Jesus whom St. Paul said lived and died for him, and now if Christ died for us, we ought to live for him who lived and died for us. That same Jesus who himself wishes to nourish us, we ask the Holy Spirit on this vigil of Pentecost to come down and help us to keep our eyes on our end. We'll sing tomorrow at the end of the sequence. Da virtutis meritum, da salutis exitum, da perenne gaudium. Give us the virtues now we need to persevere in this love. Give us the end of salvation. And give us, together with Christ, the eternal joy that he wants us to follow to achieve. Praise be Jesus Christ.